Well, I figured since I just did the live stream talking about the ATF's new engaged in the business rule that went live today, watch that video if you want any information. I detail the whole thing. It's long. There's a reason it's long. There's a lot in there. I figured let's talk about the most recent headline case where the ATF conducted a warrant and murdered somebody because they were engaged in the business. And I'm talking about the Brian Malinowski case where they served that warrant in Little Rock, Arkansas at his home and ultimately unalived him. There's a lot going on and the family attorney is getting involved, and we also have two videos that have been released that I want you to see. I think it's interesting. But first, I want to thank the sponsor of today's video, and that's the Sonoran Desert Institute. With more than 350 million firearms in the U.S., lawfully and legally, the time has never been better to learn how to be a gunsmith. Sonoran Desert Institute offers online firearms technology education with hands-on labs and materials shipped right to your door. Course topics range from armorer's courses to shooting sports management, ballistics, gunsmithing, and more. Get your education and turn your passion for firearms into a successful career. Visit sdi.edu/gng to get started today and tell them I sent you. All right, let's get into this little scenario, shall we? Back on March 19th, ATF raided Brian Malinowski's house at 6 a.m. And as they broke the door down, Malinowski shot three shots at them. They returned fire. He shot an ATF agent, was not life-threatening. The injury was not life-threatening. However, they shot him in the head, where he later died at a hospital. And when I did the follow-up video, I did a video on the story, and then I did a follow-up video where I read you the search warrant. And when I read the search warrant, you can go and watch that video, I'll post it above. I said to you there were multiple different ways that they could have seized Malinowski. They had a warrant. They could have seized him, searched his home and his vehicle as the warrant stated. And they did not have to kick the door in at 6 a.m. And had they done it in a multitude, any different way, then he would be alive today. And they could prosecute rather than, taking somebody from their family. Now, some information's come out from the family attorney, including two videos, one from a neighbor's doorbell camera, which I'll show you here in a moment, and one from Malinowski's doorbell camera. And that one raises more questions than it answers. Here's the first one. All right, a 10 vehicle parade, a 10 vehicle convoy for a guy who they suspected of straw purchasing. A nonviolent person who's never been in any trouble. Keep that in mind. Now, here's the Ring camera. I think it's a Ring camera, but here's the doorbell camera from Malinowski's house. This one is interesting. Now you can see the guys approaching the door in their tack gear, and the number one on the stack puts a piece of tape over the camera. Why would they do that? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but there's a reason they don't want people to see what they were doing. But as somebody who has multiple cameras on my property, I do have a doorbell camera as well. And if I see somebody covering it and smudging it, that for me is going to raise my level of concern, to put it mildly. I'm not thinking it's a cop out there, because most police would knock on the door and you'd see them and they announce themselves. Which brings us to the video where it ended. There's no publicly available evidence at the moment that either shows ATF knocking and announcing their presence as required by the Supreme Court, or did they just kick the door in and do a no-knock warrant? I read that warrant to you, and nowhere on it did it say no-knock. Interesting. Now, it's possible that Malinowski thought someone kicking his door in at 6 a.m. was a bad guy, was a criminal, a home invasion. After all, the guy was selling guns to people a lot and making deals and saying, hey, have your friend call it and cash only, blah, blah, blah. Maybe he thought someone was had tracked him and gone to his house. And the fact that they obliterated his ability to see who it was might have raised his level of suspicion, causing him to want to defend his wife, who was there as well. Maybe not. Maybe he was a person who said, I'm not going alive. Piss off. Don't know either way. But again, I will say that the ATF could have done this different ways, and he would still be alive and being put on trial for these alleged violations, and then our rights would be applicable during the criminal process. They didn't do that. Now, as a reminder, what did he do where they were kicking his door in? 150 guns, they said, that he purchased between May of 2021 and February of 2024. And he sold a lot of those within 24 hours of procuring those. He bought a lot of those online, places like Gun Broker, etc., and sold a lot of those at gun shops and other locations in the community. No time did he do any background checks, but at no time was he required to, because he had purchased those. It was his private property, and he was selling that. That's one take. The other take is this guy was selling them, knowingly procuring them and selling them to people who maybe couldn't pass a background check, which is why they were buying them from him the way they were. So that's the two sides of the coin there. And oftentimes when we have cases like this that bring out the bad of the government or how bad a rule or law is, we don't get the best candidate, the best plaintiff. Look at the Rahimi case, right? The guy was terrible. Beat his girl up, pistol, you know, it was shooting incidents. And he's the reason why one of the domestic violence restraining order prohibitions is being challenged. So sometimes you don't get the best candidate, but the outcome is the one you're after. But, you know, like I said, there are other ways they could have gotten him. They could have had the local PD stop the car two blocks from the house. Hey, man, we got a warrant. We're going back to the house. We're going to search it. They could have went to his job. Again, he was a nonviolent airport executive. Airports are gun-free zones. They could have went into his office and said, hey, Kat, we got you. We're going back to your house, and we're searching it. Let's go. There's a bunch of different ways they could have done this. A bunch of different ways. But they chose to kick the door in, and a gunfight ensued. They killed him, and he injured, shot one ATF agent. Now, the Arkansas State Police are doing an investigation on this at the request of the ATF, and their findings, whenever they come out, will be given directly to the, I believe this, if I'm correct, the state prosecutor. And then they'll see if there are any charges to be filed. Now, the attorney for the Malinowski family had some things to say, and I want to give them to you. Now, his name is Bud Cummins, and he said this: at this stage, there is no publicly available evidence showing whether agents knocked on the door or announced their presence, adequately identifying themselves. Brian's wife, Mayor, only heard loud banging, immediately followed by a crash of the front door being forced open. We do not know who shot first, but it appears that Brian shot approximately three times at a decidedly low angle, probably at the feet of the intruders, who were roughly 30 feet away. The Malinowski family believes the already known facts amply demonstrate ATF's tactics on March 19th were reckless and incompetent and completely unnecessary. So I wanted you to have this information. I also wanted you to see those two videos because for me, there's more questions than answers as this continues to play out. And I cannot wait until the Arkansas State Police Criminal Investigations Unit releases their report. You want that report? Subscribe to this channel. Hit the bell notification down below. Make sure it says all notifications, like the video, share it, but I will keep you in the know. And this is going to be a good one. Also, guys, I am very proud of this. Blackout Coffee, our premium coffee. We've been working on this for a very long time at the request of our customers. Each box has 32 single-serve packets. You just add it to a cup, pour hot water over it, and Bob is your uncle. You get some Blackout Coffee. It's perfect if you're traveling, if you're a hunter, if you're a fisherman, if you're a truck driver, or you're just away from your coffee machine. Keep them in your truck, keep them in your car, what have you. Blackoutcoffee.com/GNG. Down below is a way you can get them, and get them before they sell out. Appreciate y'all. Have a phenomenal day. You are your own first responder. Never, ever forget that. Take care.